Hello, everybody. Good evening to everybody. Friday afternoon. Normally, I say happy Friday to everybody, but tonight I'm saying good evening and welcome to Cub Chat Live Prime Time, as we're calling it. Welcome to all of you who maybe have watched us on Friday afternoons. This is the same old show with the same old folks. I'm Aaron. I'm joined tonight by Audrey and Anthony. We call it the Triple A Show. How are you guys doing tonight?
That's pretty awesome.
Normally do this show on Friday afternoons. We're doing something a little bit different for the month of January. Tonight is the first of what will be three consecutive primetime episodes. And we're doing it this month because it's kind of an exciting time. We're in the middle of rolling out some exciting updates to the Cub Scout program. Guys, I think we should get started. You guys prepared a nice little presentation to us. Let's have behind the scenes Brian start the first slide. We're going to dive right into it. A quick shout out to Luke, Sarah, and Samaya who are watching. Keep those comments coming. If you guys have any questions, we will try to get to them. I can't promise we'll answer every single question. But I think to start us off, Anthony, maybe you could just kind of set the table for us a little bit here.
Sure.
For a lot of us, we're just first now hearing about these Cub Scout program updates. There's a little bit of history, though, isn't there?
Yeah, it reminds me of Randall Stephenson, who's a CEO of the AT&T. When he was the board chair for the BSA, he talked about communications, and he said, once you thought you have communicated something, you need to go to bed, wake up the next day, and start all over because we have to communicate. So for some, this may be information you've heard before. But there's some things that we've actually been doing for the past couple of years, several years, that you just may now be seeing the result of those decisions. As we have continued to try to simplify the program, make it a lot easier and more welcoming for folks. So this is what things used to be like. We used to have a Tiger Den Leader patch, a Cub Scout Den Leader patch, and a Weebo's Den Leader patch. And back when we introduced lions into the core program off of pilot, someone asked me, are we going to have a lion den leader patch? And I said, well, don't we have an opportunity here to kind of make this more a lot easier and simple for people to understand? And so now there's just one den leader patch. So you may go to your scout shop and you may see the other patches. You may see the Tiger Den Leader and Weebo's patch, but we're not producing those anymore. So those are going away. As well as the rank patches for Weebos. We used to have two different rank patches, a diamond and an oval. And that kind of added to the confusion and layering of the program, as well as Cub Scout socks. We had Cub Scout socks, but Tigers had their own special socks, right? And that was, they had the orange tips. And then we went even a little bit further. We had different belts. We had Tiger belt, and we had a Cub Scout belt, and we had a Weebos belt. So now we just have a Cub Scout belt. So now you might see these changes impacting now in your scout shops where you no longer can see those specific den leader patches or the orange tiger socks or the diamond Weebos badge or the tiger and Weebos belt. So those are things that decisions we made a long time ago, but we're just probably now seeing the result of no longer carrying those inventory just to make it that much easier and simpler to understand the program.
Shout out real quick to Linnea, who is checking in from the Armadillo District. They say that they're prepping for the University of Scouting. They want to be ready. We've got a few folks asking questions in the comments. I'm not going to address those right this second because I can tell you that we're going to get to those. So you guys are asking good questions. You're asking the right questions. Who over here over the next 30, 40 minutes or so, we are going to get to those questions. Thank you all for watching. I appreciate it very much. Luke, good to see you. Okay, so we've sort of set the table of where we are. One of the things I've heard you guys say multiple times as we've gone through this process, and Audrey, maybe you could take this question, this idea of keeping it fun, simple, and easy. Those are the words I've heard. Can you kind of tell me what that means a little bit?
Absolutely, absolutely. So as Anthony said, we've been on this journey for a while, but you're only just now seeing the results. It's been over a period of close to 5 years now where we've been gathering data from den leaders and parents and folks that are in Cub Scouts currently about what they need and what they want. And what it was found was that it needs to be easy, simple, or fun, simple, and easy. I started reading it the other way. Fun, simple, and easy. And that is the main thing. So we looked at absolutely everything in the Cub Scout program to make it fun, simple, and easy. And fun is not just fun for the Cubs. It has to be fun for the Cubs, first off. But it also needs to be fun for the leaders and the parents. They have to feel that sense of community and that sense of, this is something our family enjoys, and this is a great thing for us to do. Let's continue doing it. It needs to be simple to understand so that you can explain it to those new families and new den leaders that it's not that hard. You can be a den leader, and easy to deliver. Same concept, so that the den leaders can get that out there easily, and the parents can also help understand and deliver some of the program in home if needed. So that was the goal, overlooking all of the Cub Scout program. Every aspect of it was held to that measure. Is it fun, simple, and easy? And if not, what can we do to fix that?
All right, awesome.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Shout out to Eugene, who's watching from North Carolina. Daryl's watching from here in Texas. Darla's coming to us from South Dakota. Thank you. Oh, I bet it's chilly up there. Thank you all for watching. Appreciate that. Somebody has asked a question that I can answer and do want to answer real quick. Yes, all three of these primetime episodes are going to be at the same time, 7 p.m. Central Time. We're just trying to give folks as many different options to tune in as they can throughout the month of January. Thank you for asking that question. I appreciate that. Thank you, Audrey. So fun, simple, easy, all sounds good to me. Let's talk, if we could, about the Bobcat requirement. It's a little bit different than what it's
Right. That's one of the things we found from our data on the next slide, which shows us that when we asked all those questions about what was the program like and what do folks need, we found that there are four areas to improve. One of them was the Bobcat, just like you were talking about. But some of the other things were the adventures themselves. They really needed some improvements to make them more clear and more concise and understanding why we're doing them. Weeblos was a little bit confusing, and the awards were another area that we found through multiple surveys, and I think it was 23,000 responses is what we got back, and over all these surveys to highlight these areas of improvements and the changes that are coming. So I think that's then the next slide is more about Bobcat, and Anthony I think is going to talk about that one.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we really did have that premise of, you know, how do we improve, and looking at it through the fun, simple, and easy lens. And there were times where we actually, you know, thought that we knew what the people wanted. We sent it out and realized we were way off base. And Bobcat is a great example of that. The first test requirements that we had of the updated Bobcat, when we sent out to the den leaders and those who participate in the survey, they really just kind of tore us apart. They said it was disjointed. It was confusing. It wasn't clear what we're trying to accomplish with it. So we knew what we wanted to do, right? Our mission was this. What is Bobcat? Bobcat really was designed to introduce the values of scouting to new scouts, right? And over time, the issue is that when that first was developed, we were only serving three grades, right? Three different age levels. Now we're serving six. And so having one set of requirements to fit six different grade levels just isn't effective. We're either talking above or talking below someone's grade level. So the idea was, okay, we're going to take Bobcat and change the requirements every year so every rank can earn it, but then introduce the values of scouting in an age-appropriate way. Because how you do that with the kindergartner is vastly different than how you would do that with the fifth grader, right? So if we want to be effective in our program delivery, that was what got us to Bobcat no longer being a badge that you earn at the beginning of the year or when you first join, but rather it's designed to be the first required adventure that you earn on your journey to earn your badge of rank. And you do earn it every year, each year, because the requirements do change. The other piece of this was, when we were developing this, one of our committee members was very very stout to say, Bobcat, as it is written now, isn't very fun. And so that also kind of led us on a journey of how we incorporate fun into the program. And we'll get to that later when we talk about leader resources. On the next slide, we're going to show a sample of the requirements and kind of how this works. So Bobcat, as you'll see, the first requirement in each grade level is get to know the members of your den. And so the idea here, that's why this is designed to be the first required adventure that a den would do together, because you're trying to build teamwork. Now, how do you go about doing that? there's plenty of different ways, and we'll talk about how you can do that later. But then you can see how, as a lion, we're just talking about doing your best. We're talking about concepts that are a little bit easier for those kindergartners to understand. In bear, you'll start saying, it looks more like what Bobcat requirements are today, right? These are pretty standard, the Bobcat, as we know and love today. But then in arrow of light, you'll notice that we have a couple different changes there, and that we're not talking about Cub Scouts anymore. We're talking about Scouts BSA, and we'll get more into that about how that is impacted throughout the whole program. But that's Bobcat. So Bobcat does change, right? And it got a facelift. Now Bobcat was, I don't know, 60, 70 years old. So we gave a little nip and tuck, and it's got a little bit more easier look to it, a little more modern look to it. Looks more like a Bobcat. It is something that you will earn every year for each badge of rank. It's your first required adventure. That's what it's designed to be.
And you said something during that discussion, Anthony, that I just want to reiterate. You know, you said you were surprised a little bit by some of the feedback that you got. And I just, with this, something we've talked about many times, we'll continue to talk about, you know, these decisions were not made just on our gut instincts. What does Aaron want to do? What does Audrey want to do? What does Anthony want to do? These decisions were made based on research and data.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, it wasn't just what we feel like it.
Right. Yeah. We use a method called data-informed decision-making. And so everything that we have done is that we've done surveys and samples of data from various different sources to get the results back. And then we implement. And then we see how it is. We test it again through the feedback loop. And then we modify if necessary. So we have some targets and things like that, which we talked about in a couple other Cub Chats on the data decision-making.
By the way, that's an excellent time for me to remind folks, this is the first time you're hearing about Cub Chat Live. We have been doing this for, gosh, almost 2 years now.
Three years now.
Thank
this
you.
This is
Anthony.
Year number three. Yeah, this
you.
Is our anniversary.
Thank
yeah,
you. Years. And we've been talking about these program updates for a month or so now. You can go back and watch any episode you want on whatever, you know, Facebook page you're on right now. Go back into the archives. Probably some pretty funny stuff back early on. Definitely, though, in the last couple of months when we talk about these program updates and how they were conceived and put together. A lot of good stuff there. I do want to address a quick question from Tim, who asked a question I think a lot of folks are wondering. When will we be releasing the full requirements? Can either of you guys give us an update on that?
Right. And that was on our first chart on the Easy Simple Fun. And maybe I forgot to say that. It's June 1st of 24 of this year is when the new program will be officially starting.
Release of requirements. We do have councils have had access to that because what we know those councils who are planning their summer programs for 2024, right? Those day camp directors and resident camp directors, they want to be able to plan a program that's for the current program, which would be as of June 1st, this program that we're talking about, right? So they've had access to those updated requirements for all the elective and required adventures. And so we've been sharing that with those who are needing to plan council district level activities. We'll start doing it more of a slow roll. The key thing here is that the program has been simplified so much that you don't need to plan. You don't need 6 months to plan your program, right? That's the whole idea, is that with some of these folks we've tested, and Audrey has seen this in action. You know, there are people who are able to design a weekend district event using the updated program requirements in like 15 minutes. I mean, it is that simple and that easy. So I know some people
we're going to go into those details near the end of exactly when things are being released and rolled out. So hang on.
Yes. Thank you. It's chilly where I am tonight. Darla says it's -2 where they are tonight. Now, Greg is coming from Hawaii. So that's interesting. Darla and Greg, a nice little contrast, back-to-back comments there. Thank you both for joining. I really appreciate it. So as we all know, the requirements, the adventures are split up by dens, which are, of course, split up by age. There are some, however, common activities across a few different ages. Audrey, maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so let's look at what we came up with. So this is our at-a-glance chart of what the new program is going to be looking like. And it is fun, simple, and easy. So it, in the first place, this is an improvement to be able to explain the program all in one chart. This is going to be so great for recruiting and being able to tell den leaders exactly what the program is. What the program is in short is 6 and 2. You have 6 required adventures and 2 elective adventures. And that is it. No other requirements. 6 and 2, and you're done per grade. Each grade has its own program, and that's it. So as Anthony talked about, first thing is you do is the Bobcat, which is the get to know you first adventure. And the rest of the required adventures are all around the aims and focus areas of BSA. So this is another way that you can tell people, well, why do we do what we do? This is why we do what we do. This is what we think are the most important things that Cub Scouts need to learn about. And then you have 2 electives of choice. So the aims of BSA is character and leadership, which is in Bobcat, personal safety, personal fitness and citizenship. And then the focus areas we have are outdoors, personal safety, family, and reverence. So those are the things that we think are the most important. And so they are all centered around each one per grade has different requirements and different age-appropriate requirements. Everything was tested to make sure it was age-appropriate, but the concepts are what we're trying to get across all the age groups. And then you have 2 electives of choice. So that is a fun, simple, and easy program. So if we want to go into a little more detail on the next slide, what that looks like, I'm going to put my glasses on because it is a little more detailed. On the next slide, we have an example. So this is an example of our required activity for the outdoors. And each required activity has a common element. This is a fabulous thing because this means that you can do these common elements between multi-age dens. So if you had, 3 grades together because you're either a small pack or a large pack that has, too many and needed to combine some, you are going to be able to have a much easier job with planning. It's also great for packs that maybe want to do the walk together as a pack, or maybe just the wolves and the bears want to go for a walk together. That's awesome. So the common activity is take a walk, and it's across all the grades. And this was designed very carefully. Each one of the requirements was designed to be clear, concise, and use inclusive words. And this word walk is much more inclusive than, say, the word hike. It was tested, and we were able to find out that most people think a hike is something you have to do out in the wilderness, and it's using maybe expensive gear, and it's just something more difficult to do, right? A walk, whatever, is simpler. And all the requirements were designed with the outcome in mind. What do we want to happen? We want people to go outside. We think that's a healthy habit. We think that there's great things to learn out there. We think that's good for mental health, all sorts of things. We want them to go outside. So we want them to take a walk. You can do that in the neighborhood. You can do that in the urban setting. You can do that in the wilderness. And so they take a walk. It increases by age group. Some of the things that you do along the walk are different. So other requirements within the adventure are going to be different, but the common activity is take a walk. So that's an example that you can see for our required adventures. And I think it's going to be really awesome.
Yeah, I want to point out real quick something that Melissa is doing. She's tagged some friends in her comment there. Very, very cool. Thank you for doing that. Encourage all of you if you know anybody who you think might benefit from this. Hey, it's okay if they join halfway through, because when we're done, they can always go back and watch it again from the very, very beginning. And we'll give them a chance to ask any questions here as we move on to the show. Our next slide, Anthony, is kind of an example of what looks like an elective adventure from the Wolf rank, I believe.
Yes. So we know that people are really anxious about seeing, like, show me some requirements. What does this look like, right? So give me the sample. So when we tell you it's going to be simple, we really mean that. And I've been watching social media channels for years now. And I tell you, I'm always fascinated by how creative some folks are in trying to take our current program and piece it together, because they're like, I've got a lions and dens that are tigers that are in the same den. I've got wolves and bears, or I got one wolf and I got 3 weeblos. What do I do? And they're trying to patchwork the program together so that they can actually have a meeting with a singular theme and make it easy to deliver that program. and there's a lot out there. It's all very complicated. So we had that in mind when we started looking at, okay, how can we simplify this? So let's take an example. Not only did we take the required adventures, but all the elective adventures have also been updated and improved. So here's an example. These are the current requirements for Code of the Wolf. Now, Code of the Wolf is one of my favorite adventures because it's math-based, which I love. And the other piece is that it's super fun. There's lots of really fun activities. You can put this adventure together like in one meeting. There's not a lot of prep time required. It's a really high impact. But the problem is if you're a den leader and you're coming off of work and you've got like 10 minutes to like prep for your meeting, because, you know, no one does that, right? and you're looking through the book. You're looking, okay, what's a quick adventure I can do for tonight? You're going to look at this and say, oh my God, 2 pages of requirements to do this adventure. You're going to think that this adventure is much harder and difficult than it actually is. There's actually only 5 activities that you have to do to earn this adventure. But, you know, kind of leave it to the BSA. It's going to take us 2 pages to tell you that we want you to do 5 things, right? So we've eliminated that. And the next slide is going to show you these are the new requirements for Code of the Wolf, effective June 1st, right? There's 4 things. These are the 4 things we want you to do. And as Audrey pointed out, what we did was we wanted to use concise language. We really got away from the details of this is exactly how you do that and build that into the adventure, into the requirement. Instead, we said, what do we want you to do? The how you do it is going to be built into the leader resources, right? That's leader facing. It's in the handbook. There's still instructions in the handbooks for the kids. That's youth facing. But we don't want that to be tied up in a requirement. And so this now, look at this. If you're going through your book and you're looking for a fun, simple, easy adventure, here it is. It's right there. Code of the Wolf. So that has been done with all of our adventures. All the required adventures look this way. All the elective adventures look this way. On average, an adventure only has 5 requirements. And so there's some that have less, some that have more.
And I want to be clear, they're not being dumbed down in any way. All of the activities are still there. It's just easier for the leader to teach it all. And simpler and easier for it to do it at a den meeting. Remember, we used to say back in the day, Anthony, it took about 1 hour to prepare for every den meeting, right?
right. And then we definitely got feedback. And so, you know, when we looked at this and we were writing the requirements, we asked a couple of key questions that we really wanted to track. And one of them was, do you think this is age appropriate? Do you think that this is engaging? And to me, that means fun. Is this fun? And then the next is it reinforcing scouting values? In other words, are we in our swim lane? Are we delivering what you're expecting from us as an organization? And on this chart, green is good, right? Blue is neutral. So you can see we kind of blew it out of the water with this. When we actually surveyed out, these are the final results of Spirit of the Water adventure, but this is just a sampling. Every adventure, every elective, every required adventure, we tested like this, and we weren't satisfied until we were looking at making sure we had 90% or more of the people saying that they agreed or totally agree with these statements. So we have a very high degree of confidence that what was developed and the requirements are going to be just what we're looking for. Fun, simple, and easy. For all these adventures that we also tested, we also asked some open-ended questions. What did you like? What did you not like? I read every single response from every person who filled that out. Thousands of replies. And I can tell you that you learn a lot about the culture that you have and a lot about leaders' frustrations and their pain points when you take the time to mine for that kind of gold. And so sometimes the responses that we got had nothing to do with the adventure that the person was testing, but rather kind of sensing this source of frustration or source of friction with one thing or another. So that knowledge base really helped us build all the adventures as we move forward to making sure that we were addressing those things. It was very enheartening to see we weren't leading these surveys with the fun, simple, and easy that people didn't know about that at that time. But what we did find was in their responses, they were saying those things. They were using those words to describe Cub Scouting. And that's when we knew that we really kind of had hit our mark of what we're trying to accomplish.
I want to point out a comment real quick. I think both of you will agree with All About Scouts when they say there were a number of outstanding volunteers who worked very hard on these updates that should be recognized. Thank you for saying that. Yes, yes. It's not just me. It's a lot of volunteers. And
no, absolutely. The whole national committee, which has changed a little bit over the past few years, our past director, Lisa Wiley, was some of the major catalyst towards this focus. We've also had, I think it's close to 200 people touch all of these things, whether they're subject matter experts, other committees that we contact and coordinate with, Scouts BSA committee, national committees, universities that looked at age appropriateness. I believe it's around, correct me if I'm wrong, Anthony, I believe it's around 200 people. So it is quite the effort. It is not a little thing, and it has been done at very lightning speed with great efficiency. And so we thank you to all the volunteers. Absolutely. I'm a volunteer also. Anthony is our professional, and it's just been a wonderful teamwork and absolutely great comment on there. Thank you.
Yes, great comment. Another great comment. Greg says 70 degrees where he is. Go ahead.
Greg, no one likes anyone who brags like that. One note, though, I do want to talk about that is that members of the National Cub Scouting Committee, over half of them are currently involved in a Cub Scout pack. We have den leaders. We have Cub Masters. Others have served in that capacity very recently and may have recently just had their child cross over into Scouts BSA. We have council commissioners, folks that are council commissioners who have been involved on council level. So sometimes people will say, well, who are these, members of the National Cub Scouting Committee? Can they relate? I can tell you, they can relate. They have kids that are Cub Scout age. They can relate more than Audrey or I can, because our kids are grown. Our kids are not Cub Scout age. We have many of our committee members, they have Cub Scout age kids, and they are in Cub Scouting trenches, in the trenches right now.
Thank you. Thank you, Anthony. There's a couple of lines of questioning I'm seeing a lot in the comments. One of them is about Arrow of Light, Weebelow's Adventure. We're going to get to that in a little bit. The other one we're going to get to actually right now, awards, with this slide you guys called Reimagining Awards to Adventures. Audrey, maybe you could address this one.
Right. So some of the data that we came across as we were doing all the surveys is that awards were not in the den leader's line of sight, and that made them difficult and hard to incorporate into a program. They were originally designed to either supplement content that wasn't in the regular program or change behavior. And that was no longer happening in either method. They were not meant to be exclusive. They were not meant to be hard to earn. They were just meant to either get additional content or change behavior, as I said. And when we looked at the data, they only had an attachment rate of 1.5%. And what that means is only 1.5% were doing it. And so that's actually quite sad. So if it's content that you want them to understand or you think is important, such as the outdoors and conservation is very near and dear to my heart, or just keeping a year-round program as far as the summertime activities, that was just either not being seen or was already happening in their program and it didn't change their behavior. So there's a whole Cub Chat Live on that data set, so I'm not going to go into that much more, but just to let you know that that was something that we found. It was a very strong finding. 1.5% is not good when our regular electives are about, 15 to 25% of attachment rate. And that's because there's a large number, right? You get to pick and choose which ones you want. So if you want them to do it, you need to have it in the den leader's line of sight in the main program. And so the awards have been reimagined into adventures. And so they will be, you'll be earning them like a regular adventure, and it would be either be a belt loop or a pin depending on your age. And so that is what we did, is we did not want to lose that content. In fact, you're going to see in the next one we doubled it in some cases. So some exciting things, this is one of my favorite charts, is that these are things that are now available as adventures, as elective adventures to all ranks. And these are some of the most popular things out there.
Let me just say real quick, this is exactly what Dave asked about. Dave, here you go. So there you go, Audrey, go ahead.
So now you can earn an adventure across all the ranks for Pinewood Derby or Rain Gutter Regatta. It's called Race Time. And then you can get a belt loop, and that is would be one of the things you could earn as an elective. And when I say by this time, I mean this time next year. This time of year is what I'm saying when I say this time. And fishing. Fishing was, we had some outdoor data for this age group, was like one of the most popular activities. It was like number one or number two, somewhere around there. And we only had it available in third grade bears. That's the only time you could go fishing. And that's a little sad if that's like, you know, one of the favorite things. So now it's across the board. You can do fishing all the way across the board. Same thing with cycling and swimming. Camping is now an adventure. Let's camp. You can camp across there. Note, the new adventures and all the things are not changing any policies. They're changing, updating. They're not changing. They're updating the current program. And so policies are not changing. So all youth protection, all guide to safe scouting, all those things are stay in place. This is just a program update of the adventure. So just want to be really clear there. So camping is also now an adventure, as well as conservation. The World Conservation Award is owned by the International World Scouting, and they've changed their program. So we changed our name and to be called Champions of Nature, which is what they're calling it right now. So so it's very exciting, and it's across the board. We are the only one in the world to be able to offer it to this Cub Scouting age group. And so that's kind of world, you know, groundbreaking and world setting. And so the wonderful thing here is, look, as a pack, you have got something to do across all the ranks. And even if you want to do it as a multi-den, that's fantastic. Cycling, you know, have your bike rodeo, and everybody, you know, has the same common activity, and then set up rotating stations for the extra requirements. So there's lots of ways you're going to have a really fabulous time planning this program.
A quick technical question from Bill, who's watching on YouTube. Bill, we are on live on YouTube and on Facebook right now. Bill is wondering why he's not seeing some of these comments that we're talking about. So, Bill, if I read a comment that you're not seeing, it was probably on Facebook. C. Richmond is also watching on YouTube, and they say smash that like button. I think that's how the kids say it, guys. Yes, I agree. I agree with
that. Those are our young families.
Give it a good smash. That's exactly right. Audrey?
Yeah, there's even more.
Yes, go ahead. Yes, there's even more.
So on our next slide, it shows you how much more. So one of the comments that that highlighted in some of the data was that our leaders wanted more electives. They're like, please, some were not fair, right? Some ages had like a lot and some had just a few. So now you have a fairly uniform program. The Tigers through the Weeblos have 20 electives available to them, and there are full year programs. The Lions and the Weeblos are a little bit shorter year programs, because the Lions don't start till the fall, and the Weeblos end at crossover in you know, January, February, March. You know, you're there. They're in Cub Scouts, they move on to Scouts BSA. So they don't end their career, but they just move on to a different program. And so those are a little bit shorter. So they have 16. So it's 16 and 20 across the board. And so everybody has a similar number of electives to choose from. So that kind of increases the fairness and increases the fun. So what you're seeing here is the lighter color of the electives are the existing names. And I say names because, as Anthony said, each one of these has been looked at, touched, and made more clear, maybe changed a requirement, but the content is going to be, you know, pretty much the same, and the name is the same, but it's going to be much better. The second set, the middle color, are those awards that have been reinvented, as well as like the race day and the camping, or race time and the camping, and World Conservation are all in there. So that's what those middle sections are. And then the last color is the targeted shooting sports is now also an adventure you can do. But that one has to be done at a council or district event with a certified instructor. So those are special ones. But they are included in there. And so there's lots and lots of fun and common activities and fantastic things for you to choose from in those two electives.
And we've answered a few of the questions real quick. You'll notice there were fewer electives, as you said, Audrey, for those fifth graders, because we hope they cross over into Scouts BSA before the end of the school year. So there are, I think it was four fewer electives, I think, for them, right?
Yes.
Right. For the Air of Light and the Lions.
So. Yes.
And so let's highlight one of those.
Yeah. Do we have a oh, but this is exciting. This is exciting. People want a requirement. We're going to show you all the requirements for one of the adventures that you can start working on now. How's that?
Right. You can work on planning this right now. Yes. This next slide.
This is exciting.
Yes.
So we've been asked a lot about, I need to plan my summer. What do I need to do to get this summer, new summertime fun belt loop? It's very, very simple. There's one requirement. Do something anytime during May through August. Participate in a total of 3 Cub Scout activities. And the great thing is, and we got this comment from even some Cubs, that the previous was unfair, because if they went to 3 activities themselves and the whole den didn't, they did not get awarded the previous award. This has eliminated that. So now each and every individual that participates in 3 Cub Scout activities over, quote unquote, the summer, which is anywhere from May to August, depending on your school district, you can get the belt loop. So we're really excited about that. So there you are. You can now plan for your summer. That's as complex as it is. And so we're very happy about this.
Susie asks about the granular requirements she's planning for their summer. That'll be available later this spring, I think. Is that safe to say that?
Yeah, if she's planning for a district or council event, you need to contact your staff advisor that you are working with, that's part of your council staff. They do have all the requirements to help you plan your programming for a council or district event. So they do have that. So make sure you work with your staff.
Right. This is for unit level. This would be for unit level.
Gotcha. Thank you for answering that. This is a question that we've gotten a few times, and maybe we could just address it real quick. There's no summertime award for Lions because Lions don't join until after the summer, I think. Is that right?
Correct.
See, I've learned that from enough people asking it. So Thank you. Thank you for asking that question. Anthony, let's move on to our next slide. We've got, again, a nice friendly chart that shows all of our requirements. Can you kind of tell us what we're looking at here?
Sure. So a lot of the questions that we received over the past several years about Cub Scouting focus on Weeblos and Arrow of Light. And there's lots of things that have made this layered and confusing over time. And we really wanted to clarify this, make it really fun, simple, and easy, right? So Weeblos is no longer going to be preparing Cub Scouts to join Scouts BSA. So that's kind of earth-shattering for all of us. So I'm going to repeat that. That's like a change of mindset. Weeblos no longer is preparing Cub Scouts to join Scouts BSA. Weeblos will be the 4th grade Cub Scout program, just like Bear is the 3rd grade Cub Scout program, right? So that's the big shift. Arrow of Light becomes a standalone, separate from Weeblos. So it is no longer part of the Weeblos or a subset of Weeblos. Weeblos only refers to 4th grade. Now Arrow of Light refers to only 5th graders. And this is where it gets fun. This now is where we are unapologetically going to prepare Cub Scouts to join Scouts BSA. And I mean unapologetically, because this program is not just one requirement or two. Embedded in that program is things that are preparing them to join a Scouts BSA troop. And for example, there's a requirement to go camping to earn your Arrow of Light. Because in Scouts BSA, what do we do in Scouts BSA? Go camping, right? So if you're not comfortable going camping, then this is not going to be the right program for you. It's not going to be the right program for Scouts BSA. So transitioning into the program, very laser-like focus of how we built the Arrow of Light program, what the new Arrow of Light program is like. All right, so next slide, we go into a little bit more detail. So part of that is a visual cue, all right? So let me start off by saying this. This is very important. I'm going to read this directly. This is from the Uniform and Insignia Guide of the BSA, all right? So this is like official policy, right? Discontinued Boy Scouts of America uniforms and insignia may be worn in keeping with the applicable uniform and insignia guidelines as of the time of their production, so long as the condition of the original insignia does not distract from the neatness of the uniform. So what does that mean? That answers the question that everyone has. Do I have to change my patch placement? Do I have to change? We just bought a tan uniform. Do we have to go back to a blue uniform? No. Right. Whatever it is that when you bought it at the time, you can continue in that process. The change, the update is designed to make it easier to explain and simpler for people to get introduced to it. So if you join as a fourth grader, you would buy a blue uniform, right? That's because that's what that program is. If you were staying in the program, you get one more year in that blue uniform. Now, when do I transition into a tan uniform? Well, since the Arrow of Light Badge of Rank is designed specifically to get you prepared for Scouts BSA, what uniform should you wear? A Scouts BSA uniform, right? So that's when you make that transition. So at any time, it really is a family decision when they transition, but from a practical, easy way to explain things to folks, right? You would transition from a blue uniform when you go into fifth grade. Now, if you're halfway through your fourth grade year and your child's busting out of their blue uniform and their buttons are streaming and they've outgrown it and you need to buy a new uniform, then that would be a good time to buy a tan uniform. We're good with that, right? That makes sense, right? You know that you're going to continue on the program, that your child's going to become an Arrow of Light, that they're going to join a Scouts BSA troop. So we don't want people to freak out about the transition of the uniform. This is designed so it makes it very clear and simple that, yes, we want youth to stay in the blue uniform through fourth grade, because the other piece of that is you earn your bear badge of rank usually towards the end of the year. And so if you transition to a tan uniform right away, well, then you're not going to really get a chance to wear that bear badge. If you want to transition in the tan uniform when you earn your Weeblos badge of rank, that makes sense because the Weeblos badge of rank is designed to be put on the tan uniform. So flexibility here is what we're good. We're good about that. It is a method of the program. And so we don't want people to get too hyped up about it, but we do want to show that this is what it's going to look into. We're not going to have an Arrow of Light hat or neckerchief or all that kind of stuff. Scouts BSA uniform is what Arrow of Light wear. The only difference is they would wear the blue shoulder loops on their epaulets to signify that they are not yet in Scouts BSA. So the next piece of this separation, yeah.
If I could, Anthony, what is it that the young woman, the fifth grade Arrow of Light, has around her neck there? That's not a neckerchief?
It's a shadow. It's shadowing.
Oh, that's just a shadow. Okay, gotcha. Yep. Amy, yep, just a shadow, Amy. I wasn't sure either. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Thank
you. It's not a bow tie.
Yes, got it. Perfect. Okay.
The next piece, as far as the separation goes, right? So completely separate program, completely separate handbook. So these are mocks of the handbook. We still got some detail here that we were working on as far as the adventure logos go. But there will be a separate Arrow of Light handbook, right? So the Weeblos and Arrow of Light no longer will share electives. The electives are specific to Weeblos or they're specific to Arrow of Light. So Weeblos will have their specific adventures. Arrow of Light will have theirs. To make the Arrow of Light handbook last for that all that fifth grade year, because we do want Cub Scouts to be in Scouts BSA by January, ideally by January, we want them in that program. We want them to still be able to use their Arrow of Light handbook. So you'll notice on the cover, there's the Scout Badge of Rank in Scouts BSA. So what we've done is we partnered with Scouts BSA committee and we've identified content that's in the Scouts BSA handbook that is relevant to earning the Scout Badge of Rank. So when you go to your first troop meeting as an Arrow of Light Scout and you now cross over and you're now in Scouts BSA, you can start working on your Scout Badge of Rank with the content that's in your handbook without having to buy your Scouts BSA handbook right away, right? Now, we want to be clear, you cannot work on your Scout Badge of Rank until you are in a Scouts BSA troop, right? That's very clear. You cannot get a jump start on it. It's just designed to be able to give that usage of that book for that full fifth grade year and make it a truly transitional and seamless experience.
One of the questions that we're getting a lot, we're going to address now, guys, about current fourth graders. Anthony?
What should we do?
Yes.
What I think we need to prepare for this.
Exactly.
All right.
We have gotten this question more than once.
And so here we go. First of all, remember the Cub Scout motto is our advancement motto. It's do your best. All right. So, but this is our recommendation. All right. That current fourth grade Weeblos should not begin working on Arrow of Light requirements. Right. They should not do that. So if you've already started on an adventure for that, that's fine. I would finish that up, but then I would divert my attention over to the other elective adventures that they won't be able to earn next year because they won't be part of the Arrow of Light program. All right. So specifically, the Aquanaut Art Explosion, a wear and care, build it, earth rocks, and modular design are all going to stay as elective adventures and Weeblos, but they will not be part of the fifth grade Arrow of Light program next year. So we would encourage folks to not work on Arrow of Light with your current fourth graders, but instead start working on those elective adventures that they won't be able to earn next year as part of the Arrow of Light.
Charles asks if this will be available as a saved video. Charles, yes, it will be. Thank you for joining us. First of all, it will be. You can go back and review anything you missed as soon as we're done here. Wherever you're watching, this will be available as a saved video. Great information here, guys. We've got a lot of really, I'm going to say, mostly overwhelmingly positive comments tonight. A lot of people asking questions and a lot of people answering those questions in the comments. You guys are doing great. I don't know why I'm surprised. This is very typical for our Cub Chat Live viewers.
I think the fun part's coming up because we're going to show some stuff. If you've been a loyal viewer and you've seen this, all the stuff before, and you're answering the next couple of slides are, I think, really exciting.
Yeah, so we have lots to come. And this is going to be slightly longer than normal Cub Chat just because we're trying to get out a lot of information here. So,
and as a reminder, we'll be doing this for the next two, not only tonight, but the next following two Tuesdays after this, we'll be doing this show again. Not running a rerun. We'll be doing it live again, answering questions and things like that. So please tune in if you can. Yeah, Audrey, what's next in our presentation?
Here? Well, our idea on the ranks and adventures, next slide, is that we're going to continue to do our best. So here is what we think that the placement is going to be for the new placement. And that this is different. This is a change. So wherever you enter Cub Scouts, the first badge of rank you're going to put in spot number one, which is at the top. The next one that you earn is going to be on the left side, the third on the right, and the fourth on the bottom, if you have a fourth. Our data showed us that folks enter at different times in Cub Scouts. Cub Scouting is a testing time where the family tests whether this is going to work with their family and if they'd like to continue on. And so our placement allows for that. Are we going to make people change their uniforms right now? No, we're not. If you've already got it in place, just do your best to place the next badge of rank. But this is designed to be in this order so that you can kind of tell, in what order that they earned these badges. And Lion, if you've noticed, is now is now there as a badge of rank, and there's a spot for it. So that's an exciting update and change there.
They're all
simplified and much easier to do. And I believe there is, somebody said in the comments, a plastic add-on that you can put on so you don't even have to sew them. So that's a great thing.
That is very, very cool.
At the end of the day, let me tell you, on behalf of Audrey and myself and the National Cub Scouting Committee, where you place your badges of rank on your uniform, just do your best. We just thought this is a recommendation, right? The simplest place to put your first badge you earn is right on top. That's the only reason why we said that. We're okay with that. We don't want people, criticizing a Cub Scouts uniform of where their badges of rank are at.
We want to be inclusive. We want them to be there. We want them to continue coming and having a welcome environment. But this is the suggestion of the way you place it. So
I'm excited about the next one. I want to see what's next.
We have lots more fun to come. So the next slide is the preview of all the handbooks, and this is really exciting. So some of the things people ask for forever is name on the front of the cover. So there we go, a name on the front. Also, each one has the grade on there, so you know what grade lions are. So you could say that lions are kindergartners. You'll notice lions are, and tigers are bigger than the other ones, the other four. And they also increased in pages from 23 to 64 pages. So you're getting a really good value in it. So lots of fun things coming with the handbooks. The other four are pretty close to what they were previous, pretty close, but they've been cleaned up and simplified. But the lions and the tigers, they now have an adult partner guide that's going to be with them. Not a den leader guide, but it's much more clear that the adult partner is taking part in the program with them. And it also talks about a lot about what the program is and how they can play a part as that partner. So we're really excited about that. So let's see a little bit of the samples from some of that.
We're going to see inside the books.
Oh, we get to see inside the books. Oh, my God.
Here it is. First preview.
Probably the first time anybody outside the BSA has seen this.
This is the first.
Yeah, new handbooks. Yes.
Yeah. So this is so exciting. And people are like, why can't I have it now? Because these things are getting to the printers now. I mean, they exist in our minds and are getting towards physical, but they're not there yet. We'll talk about where they are in just a minute. But this is the Lion Trail. And these are these adorable cartoon creatures for the first 2 years, the lion, the tiger. And they're also already cartoons that they're familiar with from the magazine. From the Scout magazine. So we're very excited about that. And they walk you on the trail for each of the adventures that you can do. And the first ones, of course, is Bobcat. And then there's a recommended path. You know, maybe you're doing outdoors because that's early fall and it's still good weather. And so you're walking it through the trail and you can like color in as you get those adventure loops. And then you end at your badge of rank. And so that's just much more understandable and fun for this age group to see it this way. So really, really cute. And yeah, then the next one.
These look great, by the way. We've got a couple of more previews to show folks. Yeah. If I didn't know any better, I would say this was designed by the same team that did Scout Life magazine because it looks so good. Shout out to our friends in the publishing division who have worked so hard on this.
Right. And they have. This has all been a team effort. So we're so excited to see this. So the next chart just also shows some of kind of the activities. Some are supplemental activities. Some are actual, you know, part of the requirements. So this just shows, you know, a little more at this age group, it's more cartoony and so on. As you get to AOL, it's very, you know, much more cut and dry. They want the real stuff. So this is just some really cute things here on Ready, Set, Grow. You could talk about food health and what is colorful food and how do you make that? So the next one is the Tiger Trail. So it's getting a little more, you know, a little more realistic, but not yet there. And the same concept, they get to see the whole Tiger Trail, starting with Bobcat and each of the adventure loops along the way, and they get to their Tiger badge of rank. So really cute, really exciting. We can't wait to see this all done. And then the next slide is the same kind of concept. It shows some of the supplemental and required adventure sheets that they'll be doing. They'll be working in there with their partners and just some really cute, fun things as they learn about, you know, tech. Who knew, right? They can learn about tech. This is awesome. There's some STEM in there for you as a tiger. So wonderful. And then the next slide shows you the wolf handbook. And here we are starting to be much more realistic, right? And look how clean and neat that looks, right? It's simple to understand. All these handbooks are youth facing, so it's age appropriate for that grade. It gives you a snapshot of what's going to happen in that adventure loop, what it looks like. There's the requirements. This one happens to have 6. It's a little above the 5, but there it is, clean and simple. And then there's a QR code. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. Why is there a QR code there? You're going to have to file that one away. But the next slide shows you the back cover. And so it is going to be tabs so that you could easily navigate between each of those adventures. And it has the Scout Oath and Law, as that always should be top of mind. So that'll be on the back of the handbook. So it's easy to deliver the program for the scouts to find it and for the leaders to see it. So Anthony, I wonder why was there a QR code?
Okay. So the QR code. So this is how we deliver the program to our youth, but how do we deliver it as adult leaders? And I can tell you that Aaron and I are recovering cub masters and a lot of this is stuff that we wish it was this fun, simple, and easy when we were cub masters and when Audrey was in cub scouting as well as a den leader. What we want to do is we want to make sure that we were satisfying. We got two types of leaders, all right, that we know that we have. We have the first year den leader. Like, I just got recruited to be a den leader like Tuesday, and they're telling me I have to have a meeting by next Wednesday, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we need, because we lose the most Cub Scouts during that time frame. We lose the most of our Cub Scouts. We lose because they never even got to get started Den's not getting formed. Den leaders not being able to get recruited. That's our number one issue when it comes to Cub Scout membership. And so this was designed to try to get that so easy for a parent that just agreed to be a Den leader or a pack to be able to provide some programming until they find the right Den leader to be able to shore that up so we don't lose as many Cub Scouts during that critical time frame of that formal recruitment event to their first meeting or never having their first meeting. So the first thing that we're going to announce, if you haven't heard already, that the Den Leader Experience, Scout Books Den Leader Experience, as much as we love that, as much as we worked so hard and dedicated to that, it is going to go away. For some, there's cheers in the audience I can hear from my apartment. There's others that are saying, oh no, I love the content of the Den Leader Experience. And we said, we understand that. So we took all the lessons we learned from the Den Experience to put into the leader resources for the updated program. And the first thing that we learned was people don't like having to go through a checkbox to get to the content. All right. So all the content for adult leaders is going to live on scouting.org. There's no login. There's no password. There's no it is very simple to be able to navigate to. It'll be off on directly off scouting.org under leader resources. Each Cub Scout rank will have a page, and on that page, it'll list the required adventures and the elective adventures. You click on the adventure that you want to work on for your upcoming Den meeting, right? So that'll go to the next slide. And on that page, it'll show here's every adventure has its own unique web page. So that QR code that you saw on the bottom of the page in the handbook for that Cub Scout adventure takes you to this page. Now, these are mock-ups. So if anyone's taking pictures and all kinds of stuff, these are just wireframes. These aren't live yet. That it'll have the description of the adventure. It'll have a safety moment. It'll have all the things that you need to know up front of the safety things that you need to be aware of when you're delivering this adventure. And if there's a training that's required, that will be spelled out in a hyperlink that goes to it. If there's a specific guide or regulation that you need to follow or a form, there'll be a hyperlink that goes to that direct form. So all that stuff is right there for you. You don't have to have five or six different resources to pull from. Then you look at the requirements, and then under each requirement, we've developed what we call activity cards. And these are recommended activities. This is the fun. We're trying to make it fun for Den leaders too, right? So I remember there were times when I had a good day or a day and a half to plan a Den meeting. I'm like, I had some time off. I had the Den meeting coming up. I got some resources. I can plan a pretty fun Den meeting. And then there are times where I have no time to plan my Den meeting and I needed something quick and fast. Well, this is where the activity cards come into play. Under each requirement, each activity has different, or each requirement has different activities, suggested activities that meet the requirement. So on the next slide, you'll see that those activity cards tell you, based on the resources, common resources that a Den leader has, of whether this activity is for you or not, right? Because sometimes you're going to have time, sometimes you're not going to have time. So the first icon tells you, is this indoor, outdoor, or is it a go and see it? Like it's a travel I'll get is required, right? So I know that I need something indoor, okay? Energy level is the next icon. It's a lightning bolt. What's the energy level of the Cub Scouts? One is, it's like talk time where they're listening. There's not a lot of movement there. Where a five is high energy. They're running. They're playing soccer. They're running a relay race. They're doing something active, highly active, engaged. The next item is the supplies. How hard is it going to get the supplies for this activity? What's the level of that? So a one is you don't need any supplies. This is you could do this on the fly. A five, I call it the two trips to Home Depot because I never make one. Right? You always go to Home Depot and you forget something, you have to go back. So that means that there's something custom that you have to build, or there's some that's not really common that it's an awesome thing. We probably got it from one of you who's watching right now, because a lot of these activities, we totally stole off of Facebook. We totally got these ideas from you because we saw some amazing things that people were doing to deliver the program. And so some of those things are really high end. And so those are fun. And then prep time. Is it going to take me no time at all to do this? I can do this on the fly, or there's something more than a week ahead of time that I have to plan for. for. So if we're going to go to the fire station, you should probably let the fire station know that you're going to go there a week ahead of time, right? So that's an example of a five when it comes to prep time. So now, based on what I have as resources available to plan my meeting, I can now pick the activity that matches my resources. Because and that might be different. So now it's not contingent on the actual adventure. It's just contingent on what activities I can do that are associated with the adventure. So all those, super easy. You punch that card and boom, each activity will have its own web page. And that's the next slide. So here it is. That activity has a whole web page unto itself. So if you're doing the math, right, we've got how many adventures times how many requirements times how many two or three different optional activities that were presented to you. It's over 1,500 different activities. We used to have such a thing called the Cub Scout How-To Book, and it was this huge monster of a book, right? We have way more activities in the Cub Scout program than we did in this book activity book. So it'll walk you through right on this page. Here are the written directions. Here's the supply list. And then any additional resources we may have. It might be a downloadable PDF file that you print off and use as an activity sheet. It might be a how-to video. It might be a picture of completed projects so that you know what it looks like. So that's how fun, simple, and easy we're going to make it for den leaders. So now, if you have a parent who can help you with a den meeting to do an activity, you can just shoot them the link to the activity page. You don't have to hand them over a big book and say, hey, by the way, we need you to look at page 10, page 35, and page 62 to understand the one, you know, that 10-minute time frame that we need your help with.
Or maybe page 162 in some of the books, because they were like those, some of the books that I had, again, back in our day, Anthony, it was like a phone book. It was giant. So I'd love to see, and most of the folks in the comments agree how much easier and simpler and fun this will be, not just for the kids, but also for the leaders. Very, very cool to see that. Again, we got a lot of folks who are sort of joining midway through the video. And again, as a reminder, yes, this video will be here when you're done. You can always go back to watch it, as you can go back and watch all of our Cub Chat Live videos. Anthony says we've been doing this for 3 years. I'm not going to fact check him on that. I guess he's right. But it's been a really exciting time, especially these last 6 or so weeks or so, when we've been sort of doing this rollout. And by the way, that will continue. If you've never watched us on a Friday afternoon, quick plug, Friday, 2 p.m. Central, Cub Chat Live will continue. Just because we're doing these primetime episodes does not mean we're stopping our regular Friday episodes. We're going to keep doing
this Friday we have our Cub Scouting Commissioner, Cub Chat Mike, as he likes to be called. Mm-hmm. And he's going to talk about doing awesome blue and gold banquets.
Definitely tune in for that. Our final couple of slides of the night that we've got for you guys. Again, this is a months long rollout. I know a lot of folks, you know, we want all the details. Yeah. Right now, this is actually a months long rollout. Who wants to go? I'm not sure who's taking
this. I got this one. Okay. Yeah. So we're super excited. This is our, the next slide shows us our rollout plan. So you can go back into the reserves of the recordings of Cub Chat Live and listen to these programs. It's our main thing. Once a month, we're going to be highlighting a segment of the release. This is kind of like a overview bonus, giant one for prime time. But each month, I talked about just last week, the new and improved adventures and some details on that. And next, on the second, we're going to be talking about the Weebelows and Arrow of Light, a little bit deeper dive into that. And what does that look like? And then handbooks and den and pack meetings and some tips and things there. Questions and then safety integration. But the next thing, the thing to look at is that we have already completed a set of helpers out there to help you get some of this information in either in-person meetings or so on. Your councils have all been given educated on the new program and they've been given the resources. So if you are planning like a training, University of Scouting, that kind of thing, you want to talk to your council because they have actual resources that they can give you should you need just for a presentation, like the requirements just for a presentation or something like that. Talk to your council. They have all that information and they should be in the process of planning their own introduction to the new updated Cub Scout program. So those are there. The larger commissioners who are your helpers to the units, they have also been educated on the new program and a set of 50-ish folks that went to Seabase, and they learned all about the details, and they are prepared to give presentations to councils and roundtables. I just did a few myself. Our National Cub Scouting Committee has also been made available to do the presentation. So there's a lot of folks out there doing in-person things that have already been educated on the new program these last couple months. Then coming up is Scouts BSA, because we're going to be talking about the Igloos to Arrow of Light. We're in coordination with the National Scouts BSA Committee, and we will be having resources for Scoutmasters and Arrow of Light leaders ready to go in that February timeframe. Then the exciting news, which a lot of these questions are, when are we going to get a hold of this stuff? That's going to be in your Scout shops in spring. And that is in the spring timeframe there. And so those will all be arriving. The handbooks, the pins, the belt loops, all those kinds of support resources will be in the Scout shops in the spring. And that's as they go through manufacturing. We are not holding anything back. It's literally the time it takes to produce these things. They will be arriving. So there is no holding back. And why can't I have the handbook? Because I don't have the handbook. It's not done. It's being printed. It's being bound, spiral bound, all those kinds of things. So that is coming, and that is in spring. Then leader-specific training will be updated, and we'll also have updated roundtable videos will all be made before in the May timeframe. They'll be all ready to go by that timeframe. And then those online tools, a lot of what we talked about is all going to be done and ready to go, push the button just around the June 1st timeframe. And so Scoutbook will be updated. So yes, you can do all your calendar, your calendar planning, your advancement, those kinds of things will be ready to go then. And updated, you know, reports and so on, whatnot. And those Den Leader resources should be online by then, those leader resources. So exciting things coming up. Highly recommend you use Cub Chat Live, because we get a chance to use more words and questions along the way. But we do have some other resources, which I think we're going to hit. This is our Easy Share. So if you type in at Cub Scout Program updates, you will get this screen, and you can share it on all those platforms or use the QR code here. And this gets you to the one source of truth. There's a lot of things flying out there that may or may not be accurate information. So you want to go to the one source of truth, which is our webpage, which is the scouting.org Cub Scout Program updates. And that lists, as things are released, slides appear on there magically. Like I just did our last one last week and or Friday, and so they should be uploaded soon, the charts for that. And we also have our frequently asked questions on there, and that's a must read. It was just updated on the 3rd. There was one up there before, and now there's a much more detailed, as we get groups of questions around a subject, that is added there, including resources to that. Cub Chat Live is there, you know, to be able to see what the upcoming topics are. And Cub Chat Live is also on a podcast. So should you not want to watch it on screen, you can listen to it, you know, while you're working out or wherever you need to. So lots of exciting resources on this Easy Share at Cub Scout Program updates.
A great reminder there. If you're a podcast person, thanks so much for watching us today. You can download this episode, past episodes, future episodes, as a podcast, if you need to do that. We certainly would welcome to do that. Key dates, as Audrey just said, March and April. A lot of folks are asking when the handbooks and new stuff will be available. We're expecting them.
Right, and we know about crossover. So we tried to get them as fast as we could, and they are coming as literally as fast as possible to get through production. There has been no rebate. We know about your crossovers. We know that people give them as gifts. We know that people want them for the next year, and we're doing our very best. And so we ask that you give us some some love there. We
one question we've got, Anthony, you did a really cool job showing us the web pages, how the adventures will be on web pages. Do you have any idea when those will go live?
Yeah, all the resources. What we have to do is we have to make sure we don't release things and confuse anyone and thinking, oh, this is the new adventure and I can do it now since it's available. What we do want to do is have handbooks in Scout shops so that those packs that provide handbooks at crossover or bridging when Cubs got to go from one rank to the other, that they have the new books instead of inadvertently purchasing old books and content. So we're that's why there's a the timing of that release is the way it is, because we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. We don't want anyone getting confused about what is the current program and what are the updates. And so that's where there's timelines there. But you can see that, you know, that's plenty of time that they'll be released. They'll be public. You'll be able to plan your meetings for the fall, for summer activities. And again,
yeah, because we know the requirement now for the summertime activity.
You know, the summertime activity board, your pack, if you guys want to start doing some planning for summer things, hey, plan a bike derby, fishing, swimming, right. All those are across all the ranks so that, you know, regardless of what the individual requirements are, guess what? One of the requirements for fishing is to go fishing, right? Fishing. One of the requirements to go bike riding is to go on a bike ride, right? And so these are what we love about this, and what we're hearing about this is that this really does make it easy for the packs to do planning, for multi-ranked dens, to take some burden off den leaders of having to plan every single thing for their Cub Scouts. Now there's some relief, like, okay, well, the pack is going to plan the big thing, and I just have to worry about just the individual requirements for my den. Wow, what a relief. That makes it so much easier for me to say yes to be a den leader. It makes it a lot easier. So those are things that we're working on. And again, we're so grateful to the volunteers and subject matter experts who have been on this journey with us for the past. It's 5 years that this has been in the works, and it's been a lot of work behind the scenes. A special shout out also to our publications team, Eric Ottinger, who's been the lead on that. Literally been working nights and weekends, making sure that we're meeting this deadline so that these resources can be available to you when you need them and want them. And so it's been great. We're looking forward to having it launch and all those things go live. That's not when we work on those things, by the way. That's when those things will go live. So,
and I want to clarify one more thing, because there's a lot of people talking in the comments about summertime activities. I just want to make sure we're clear about one more thing real quick. When you're doing a summertime activity, you're doing it for the rank they will have that fall, right? So if right. you have if there's a scout right. who's a Tiger Cub Scout right now, by the time school ends, they're moving up, right?
Yes.
They're doing wolf activity. So that this June, if they're a Tiger Cub right now, in June, they're doing wolf activity for the next fall, right? There's a few.
Right. Whenever their school year ends is right. the end of that rank. And when their school year, you know, that summer or that summer program or time block is when they start the next rank.
Right. So
that's how Arrow of Light can earn the summertime fun award adventure. Right. So those are your current fourth graders would earn the Arrow of Light summertime fun because mm-hmm. next summer, they'd be at Scouts PCA camp, right? They won't be Cub Scouts anymore. So that's how that. So that's another piece of the National Summertime Pack Award that we constantly got questions about. It's like, when do they earn it? How does that work?
Yes.
And so that's super clear now. And that's why we want to make that announcement now, right? That's make plans to earn one of your first new adventures today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. You can earn them this summer for whatever rank they will be in next
right.
fall.
Right, and this summer you don't have the pack and den requirements. It's simply individual. It's the new, this summer is the start of the new summertime activity, the adventure, summertime adventure. And so that is just one requirement, which is to attend 3 Cub Scout activities individually.
I highly recommend resident camp, twilight camp, things like that. Yes.
Right. So there's no longer the requirement to have percentage of your pack, percentage of your den. It's individual. If an individual Cub Scout goes to 3 activities during that time frame, then he or she gets to have the belt loop.
Imagine that. It's fun, simple, and easy.
It's fun, simple, and easy. You guys thought
it would be, yes. Yep. Boy, this has been a great discussion. Thank you for all of you watching at home. A few key dates real quick. This Friday, as Anthony said, we'll have another episode of Cub Chat Live, 2 p.m. Friday Central Time. If you can watch during the day, if you haven't already, please join us. If you can't, guess what? We'll post it online. You can watch it when we're done. That's fine. We will do this show again a week from tonight, January 23rd, 7 p.m. It won't be a repeat. We will cover the same topics, but we will be taking questions, interacting with viewers like we tried to do tonight as best we can. And we will do that again also on January 30th. All those will be at 7 p.m. Please join us for those when you can. Anthony, Audrey, any closing thoughts before we let the people go for the night?
We're just super excited. Go make sure you keep those resources in front of you, the scouting website and the easy share, the Cub Scout. Exactly. There we go. Program updates. Things will be updated there. So look back often.
Yes. Bookmark those pages. Check them often. All right, guys. Good job. We made it. Thank you all for watching again. And again, shout out to all of our comments. Very, very polite. Very, very civil tonight. Very trustworthy, kind, and all that good stuff like that. Appreciate that very much. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you, Audrey and Anthony. We appreciate it.
You,
so long, everybody. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.